7 now, I think.
Wait, you're watching Disenchantment?
Disenchantment.
Okay.
What did I say?
You said, I think you said that
Unenchanted? Yeah, fucking Disenchantment. Whatever. Yeah, and I was giggling. She's like, why don't you giggle? And I was like, yeah.
Did you do the same giggle?
It's like variation of it.
What's the other variation of
There's a lot, dude. I'm sure you'll catch one today. I'll giggle. I do it a lot.
You do?
Yeah. Like, I giggle before I laugh. Like, if something's real funny to me, I'll go, right? And then I'll laugh. It's like, it's kind of like I'm like
pre-laughing.
It's like stumbling into the laugh, right? Like,
do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
All right.
Like the piano.
Okay, so yeah, like a Jerry Lewis piano thing, or like the drumsticks, one, two, and then you like...
The curtain just popped open, right? Like, bam!
Bam. Okay. No, I enjoyed it last week when we had that.
When I giggled?
When you giggled.
I told her, I said, can you call it chuckling? Or chuglin', you know, like...
What's chuglin'?
I don't fucking know. I just know it's a CCR song. Keep on chuglin'.
Keep on chuglin'.
Yeah, dude.
Okay.
Just play it while we... Or hit record. Who are we talking about?
Oh, no. I've hit record since we've been talking about this.
Oh, really? You didn't do an intro, though. Let's just roll with it, dude.
I just like this. But, yeah, no. Well,
yeah, I don't need one. Just do it live now. Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
That Bill O'Reilly freakout video?
Yes, which is great.
Inside edition.
Inside edition.
Inside of what?
If you don't know what we're talking about, folks, look up... Was it? Bill O'Reilly, who is doing, like, look up Bill O'Reilly freakout video.
Yeah, talking about Bill O'Reilly pissed.
And it was back, it was a long time ago, but he's like trying to do like his show, and he gets so pissed he starts yelling.
He says that thing, it fucking sucks.
Yeah.
That thing fucking
sucks. Fuck it, we'll do it live.
We'll do it live.
And then it's like, and now today, folks, it's very funny. But yes, this is the
I wish a microphone would have like. Hit him on the head after that, right?
We only hope. But yes, we're the Unbalanced Note Podcast. I'm Brian Kluger, and I'm joined by Jacob Douglas. What up, man? Ooh, are you whistling at me? Or
no, I was actually whistling at the girls in that glass cabinet right there.
I do have girls in the glass cabinet.
They look.
Don't ask questions.
They're varying ages as well.
What ages do you think they are?
No, well, there's an angel up there. She's probably 5, and then there's not a lot of, though, you know, racial variation there. They seem to be all the same skin tone. I wonder if that says something about your personality.
It may be. I mean, at one point in time, I hope to not judge people by the color of their skin, but
I just didn't even I didn't even know they made purple people.
The Purple People Eaters.
Oh man, that was a show, right? Or was it a book or what the fuck was
books,
it?
I think.
Yeah.
We are the Unbalanced Note music show on the Multimedia Men podcast on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. We are back. Our main event today is the legendary one of the most godfather of the guitar. Well, not godfather, but innovator of the guitar, Jimi Hendrix. We'll talk about him later. We have One Hit Wonders later, which are super fun, and we have a bunch of news and some discussions to talk about. This is the Unbalanced Note again, and we're going to jump into news because...
Are you saying news or nudes?
I mean, can we talk about nudes?
Nude news.
Nude news. So are we going to do the news nude right now together?
As long as, yeah, no one would want to see us naked. As long as it's just audio. Who knows? We're naked right now, dude.
Yeah, well, so Jacob has his
we're all naked.
Shirt off, but I have my pants off. So
we're all naked under our clothes.
That's very true.
So we're all the same.
All right, let's start out with some fun news, which has finally happened. Very much deserved. Weird Al Yankovic has had his Hollywood Walk of Fame star implanted in history. It happened. Very excited. I think Weird Al has deserved a Walk of Fame star, even though it's all bullshit, but I'm just glad he does have one now.
It's what do you mean it's all bullshit? Now, wait a minute. Are you not a Weird Al fan?
No, I'm a huge Weird Al
fan. Okay.
I think the Walk of Fame
Oh, why stars, it took so long.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, man, I have a really weird Weird Al story.
A strange Weird Al story?
It's like one of those that makes sense Weird Al. It's a story you would like to have.
Okay.
Do you remember what, you know what Paul Frank is? It had like, there was a monkey named Julius and it was like a clothing line,
yes,
right?
It's like the very like minimalist animated
Yeah, so, it's some some hipster thing. I used to have a friend who had managed, there was a store like over here, even in Uptown, not too far from your place, right?
Right.
And I was in there getting something, a wallet or something, had some goofy thing in there I thought I wanted, and fucking Weird Al was in there, and he's tall, man. Like, he's like 6'3", but he just had this huge hair, and I just saw the back of him, and for some reason in my mind, I was like, man, I think that's Weird Al. And then he turned around, and sure enough, it was. I talked to him. He's the nicest person I've ever met.
It's
like,
awesome.
Yeah.
He seems like a genuine dude.
His wife was with him, and his wife was, like, incredibly great looking.
Yeah.
And
he's funny as hell.
But yeah, he had, like, on a shirt that was, like, it was, like, a Jimmy Buffett, like, Hawaiian-looking shirt, but it was, like, all bananas or something.
Yeah.
Like, some wacky, it was just dude, wacky as hell,
amazing.
Man.
He's amazing. Yeah. He's an accordion player.
He can probably play any instrument.
Weird Al Yankovic has sold more than 12 million albums as of 2007. Which he's probably sold way more because he goes back to the 80s.
I loved his videos.
He's had 4 Grammy Awards, 11 nominations, most recently in 2015. He has 4 gold records and 6 platinum records in the U.S. alone.
Damn. Hell yeah.
So, yeah, he is a badass, and it's just can't believe it's taken this long. And it's funny, at his Walk of Star ceremony, he had a
Walk of Star.
Or his Hollywood Walk of Fame star ceremony, he had a message to his fans. He said, I'm sorry I even have to say this. I don't want to even have to ask this. But please, please don't pickaxe my star, okay, guys? I know it's all the rage these days, but that's not cool. Just please don't do that. Which is pretty funny. And then he goes, unless at some point in the future I do something unfathomably monstrous and evil, in which case, sure, fine, go ahead, makes sense. But anything short of that, please limit yourself to spitting and urinating.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what those things are for anyway.
It's true.
Well, like, when I see people laying down next to, like, a star of anyone, I'm like, oh, you're laying on the ground in Hollywood?
Yeah, it's gross.
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean,
a lot of secretions.
I'm just like, what already exists there that you can't just wipe away, right? Like, you'd have to torch it and start over.
Correct.
Of the amount of filth. Then you factor around tourist shoes, right? Stomping all over the fucking place. Well, it ain't like they're out there fucking cleaning those things every 10 fucking minutes.
It's kind of gross. There's tons of them, but Weird Al said that because people recently have been taking a pickaxe to Donald Trump's Walk of Fame star. But
Ned, Weird Al is kind of like the original troll, if you think about it.
You know what? I don't even think he's a troll. Because he got permission from everybody. He's friends with everybody. He's a good musician, and he's just parodies people, which is great.
But he does it
in a really fun family way.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, because it's children's music almost, and to a certain.
Yes.
It's not like he takes like Gangster's Paradise.
Yes.
Right.
Amish Paradise.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's great.
Like Amish people like that song. He never really kind of like makes fun of anyone per se. Like nothing really derogatory. It's just everything is. Everything is stereotypical, whatever branch he's in.
Correct.
You know?
And like, you know, he's, you know, because one of his biggest collaborators was Michael Jackson. He's done a bunch of songs for him.
What I was saying about the troll, though, is there's certain people he had to have trolled Michael Jackson, dude. That there's too much ammunition there to pass on, right?
Because
he's so fucking creepy, right?
Well, in response to that, he did a song called Fat, which was the same song as Bad.
Yeah.
But like when that video came out, Michael Jackson, you know, grabbed his crotch a lot, and it was a bunch of stuff. So Weird Al definitely did make fun of him for that, like doing it over the top and stuff like that. But, you know, like songs like Madonna's Like a Virgin, he did Like a Surgeon, or Addicted to Love, he did Addicted to Spuds.
Well, it's weird that he I'm sure he does original music, obviously.
Yes.
Because he probably plays every instrument. You know,
right.
Like if you looked it up, I bet it's multi-instrumentalist Weird Al Yankovic, right?
Right. No.
But he's made a career out of other people's songs and by making fun of them. Like who else has done that?
Not in the league as he has.
Yeah.
Like a whole career.
Well, it says he had what? 3 platinum records?
Yes.
Or 6 something?
Yes.
I mean, dude, Weird Al's the shit, dude.
So
we need to get him on here.
We do need to get Weird Al on here.
Tell us we suck.
It is awesome. But yes, good for Weird Al Yankovic. We love you.
You think he really cares about that, though? Like, oh, he got excited. He has a Hollywood star.
No, and that's what my other point was. Like, who cares about Walk of Fame stars? I don't care.
He attended it.
Yeah. Well, of course, because it's like a thing. If you get one, you just, I mean, unless you're Bob Dylan, you just don't show up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He should have fucking been punk rock and not went.
Oh, it's good shit. All right. Moving on to...
I'm going
to
go pickaxe it now since he...
since he's... No, just... You're
no, he won't. Nah, it's because that's what he wants.
So do something he doesn't want. Yeah. Defecate. Moving on to some sad news. Lynyrd Skynyrd and Strawberry Alarm Clock's Ed King dead at 68. King wrote the famous Sweet Home Alabama riff amongst other Lynyrd Skynyrd songs. Are you familiar with Ed King?
Dude, Lynyrd Skynyrd is in my top five favorite bands of all time. I love Lynyrd Skynyrd.
And Strawberry Alarm Clock, I like that band too.
Yeah, they did, Incense and Peppermint.
Yes.
Yeah, he was the only person from Skynyrd who wasn't from the South. I think he was actually from California.
I'm trying to look and see.
Because Strawberry Alarm Clock was from, I think, based out of San Francisco.
Ed King was invited to join Lynyrd Skynyrd after the departure of bassist Leon Wilkinson.
Yeah, Wilkerson. Yeah, Ed King is a great guitar player. I think he also wrote like Saturday Night Special and Lynyrd Skynyrd was, I think they're the best American like rock and roll band ever.
Ed King, for bands like those two we just mentioned, Lynyrd Skynyrd and Strawberry Alarm Clock, it's pretty crazy. Yes, he was born in California. Yeah. He died in Nashville.
Well, he got into the band to play bass, right? Ronnie like recruited him to play bass. And then he told him, "Man, you're the worst bass player I've ever heard." And Ed King is an amazing guitar player, like a very, very good, very great. He's a great guitar player. So they switched him over to guitar. So Skynyrd went from having two guitars, like two great guitar players in Alan Collins and Gary Rossington. Mm-hmm. And then they put Ed King on the guitar and he played a Strat like Hendrix. So it had a very unique tone, especially against the other two guitars that were Gibsons that were fucking, Les Pauls and different, like, an Explorer and whatever Alan Collins was playing, a Firebird or something, right? And they had a very, like, unique sound with those three guitars that were all doing three kind of different things. But Ed King put, like, the swamp sound in that band.
Right.
Like, he kind of made... And it's weird because he's the only one from the band that isn't from the South.
But he wrote, like, the ding, ding,
he wrote,
ding,
ding, yeah. Ding, ding. He fucking wrote Sweet Home Alabama. I mean, he's a very accomplished guitar player, a great songwriter. He was a very nice guy. I met him at the Dallas Guitar Show one year. And, I'm a huge fan, man. I think Lynyrd Skynyrd is, like I said, man, they're the best American rock and roll band ever.
They are definitely good. And I had no idea that in 2011, he had congestive heart failure, but in 2011, he had a successful heart transplant.
Yeah, he had a heart transplant.
Which is crazy, but he has been battling cancer for the last several months. So, and he died at 68. He was 68. But yes, he's... damn good.
Yeah, he was incredible, man. The huge talent, that guy. That's just a phenomenal band.
He was also associated with a band called Hunger.
Yeah, I don't know
much about that.
No.
All right.
It's on the internet, though, so I'm sure it's true.
All right, well, there you go.
There's another great guitar player in that band also named Steve Gaines, who died in the plane crash.
With
Ronnie, and his sister died, yes, too, his Cassie Gaines. And
because Ed King left that, and Gaines replaced him.
Steve Gaines came in and played, which, again, Steve Gaines was probably the best guitar player out of that band. Ed King would probably be the second best guitar player.
Hmm.
They're all great, though. I mean, everybody in that band had their own style. Like, that was a powerhouse, dude. Imagine going to a concert. Like, they opened for The Who, The Stones. So imagine going to a Rolling Stones show in, like, 1972. And then Lynyrd Skynyrd comes out and plays 10 songs you've never heard before. But the songs they play are Sweet Home Alabama, Tuesday's Gone.
Freebird.
Yeah, Gimme 3 Step. Freebird's the last thing you hear from them. And then they walk off stage, dude. Your fucking mind would be blown.
Yeah, because, I mean, especially ending on... I mean, you have Sweet Home Alabama because it gets...
They have... Crowd, dude,
and then you have Tuesday's Gone, which is a ballad. And then they end on, like, Freebird, like...
Well, they had a guy in that band that played a lot like Eric Clapton and Alan Collins. He's the guy doing all the guitar solo stuff on the end of Freebird.
Yeah.
Clapton said that that was one of his favorite guitar players. It was Alan Collins from Lynyrd Skynyrd.
And that's like a compliment.
Oh, dude, the Stones asked them to leave a tour because they didn't feel comfortable playing after them anymore. They were getting shown up, and they were playing in England. And the Stones actually paid them the amount of money, if they would have continued the tour, what they would have made. They paid them because they liked them that much. They just didn't want to play after them. Because
it's hard to follow that
act. Yeah. Oh, you would get – they'd mop the stage with you. Because they practice in this place called the Hell House, like in Jacksonville, Florida. It was like in the middle of a swamp, and it was a – I don't know if it was – I think it was in Jacksonville. But anyway, it was like a shed just in the middle of the swamp, no air conditioning. And they would just get in there, and they would practice, man. They would be in this room for 6 hours, you know, smoking weed, drinking, you know, having a good time. They're hillbillies, you know, just writing rock and roll music. And then they come out of that shed with that fucking – first album, the Pronounced, yeah. Lynyrd Skynyrd. Like, look up the track listing on that album, okay, and just read it out loud, dude. Your jaw will drop because every single song on that album is a fucking classic, dude. Instantly classic, this fucking album was.
So. Yes, this album, right?
Fucking, I had a Yoda moment, dude.
Lynyrd Skynyrd discography.
Yeah, Pronounced.
Pronounced. Lynyrd Skynyrd, 1973. I Ain't the One, Tuesday's Gone, Gimme Three Steps, Simple Man, Things Going On, Mississippi Kid, Poison Whiskey, and Freebird.
Yeah, dude, like, there you go.
Damn.
And they fucking looked cool. I mean, look at those dudes.
Yeah, of course.
And Ed King on the cover of that, if you look really close, there's a lightning bolt directly over his head.
Yep, you are correct. That's pretty badass.
Yeah, Ed King ruled, man.
So we will miss you, Ed King.
So we lost Aretha 1 week, then we lost Ed King.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And it's only fucking Tuesday.
It is only fucking Tuesday. Maybe in a little better news, Loretta Lynn announces release date for postponed new album. The record is called Wouldn't It Be Great. Are you a Loretta Lynn fan?
Well, of course.
The record is now set to arrive September 18th via Sony Music. And I guess last May, Lynn suffered a stroke and canceled all of her 2017 dates. But
so much for that getting any better.
Well, I guess she's better because she's releasing this. I'm feeling good and looking forward to coming out. It was really important.
And how old is she? She's got to be like 74, I bet.
Loretta Lynn? Yeah. I'm going to look that up. Loretta Lynn.
She's one of those people that I bet has like 30-something albums.
And probably a ton of stories.
Oh, yeah.
She was born in 1932, making her 86 years old.
Damn, 86?
86.
Wow. And she's touring?
I would imagine so. She says she's feeling good. She's ready to get going, and there it is.
That's incredible. Man, that's a great... That dude, she's more rock and roll than like some clown like Post Malone.
Which I have a thing about him.
I knew it. I fucking... For some reason, I had this feeling. I'm like, we've talked about three things we both like a lot, and we have to segue into some bullshit. I knew it. I'm kind of excited, though. I can't wait to hear it. What did this jackass do now?
But Loretta Lynn, there you go. Post Malone, maybe one of the worst people to ever come into music.
You could have just said people.
What did I say?
Just worst people.
What did I say?
In music.
Okay, worst people ever.
Yeah, I would just generalize him as a person.
He has come out... And unfortunately, it's going to take place in Dallas October 28th.
A festival
called Posty Fest.
Yep.
Tyler, the Creator, and Travis Scott are slated to perform. I don't like it.
I don't... The thing with music like that that confuses me... It actually doesn't confuse me because I know exactly why I don't like it. But I don't relate to anything that those people are talking about. Like, and mumble rap... Like,
it's horrible. It's going to take place at Starplex.
Yeah, there was I was talking to this guy at the store the other day, at the record store, and he was asking about, like, what happened to, like, modern hip-hop? And I was like, well, dude, hip-hop kind of started to get ruined in, like, the late 90s. Actually, even kind of around the time it's Crisscross, right? Because that's when it kind of got like, man, they're really starting to bastardize this and really opening the door for anyone to do it now, right? Same with like rock and roll or any other genre. Like you got bad country music, right? Not everyone.
Well, you had that rap album, but you had like these two very gifted kids, and there's like, oh shit, they're going to sell a ton to kids because
that's what it is.
Sell them their money.
That's the point I'm getting to with Post Malone, right? Is that that music is made for idiots? Like the what do you think the average IQ of the individual at that festival will be?
Oh,
realistically,
Jesus
right?
Jesus Christ,
like 80.
Way below the average.
Yeah.
Like 20 points lower.
Yeah, it's, I mean, again, I think people just, that's music that I think is just designed to turn your brain off.
Well, I think it's also music to just hate. Like,
I
look at it like as like bad movies and good movies. Like, I'm glad the bad movies are there. Like, not the so bad they're good movies, but just terrible movies. I'm glad they're there because we get to really appreciate what's really good. But I think with music, people love this terrible music, such as anything from Post Malone.
I mean, I wouldn't say I hate it. I just don't relate. I don't relate to it at all. Like, and it's confusing. It's confusing, I guess, on the when you look at it on the scale of like how many times how much money these people have, you're like, God damn. I guess you also don't have to be an idiot to make money, but you don't have to be idiots spend money in a very poor way, right?
Right.
I mean, and that's those guys are a testament to that. That fucking Tyler, the Creator, dude, he sucks. Like, I mean.
I liked Tyler, the Creator at one point in time.
Oh, did you?
But no.
Dude, that's
I watched a show on Vice and it's terrible.
That's the most like fucking hipster shit.
Yes.
Like, that guy's laughable, like, as a rapper, even. Like, he's not even good. Like, I can rap better than that. All he does is just sit and write down some shocking shit and then, like, just, he's not in a hurry. He's not really saying anything either. You know what I mean? Like, it's all like, unicorns doing cocaine and, you know, like, what? What are you talking about?
It's Bush League. But yes, Posty Fest 2018.
Who else is at that? Are there going to be any juggalos there?
I wish, but Travis Scott are set to headline, and Post Malone, Tyler, the Creator are set to perform as well. More artists are to be announced very soon.
You know, so we were talking about Pauly Shore earlier at lunch.
Yes.
Post Malone has an album called Stony.
Wait, when is that? When did that come out?
Well, I don't, like a couple years ago. I don't fucking
okay,
know.
I think I remember that.
Hopefully this guy will only be around for like another 3 months.
Oh God.
Unfortunately, hey, he broke a Beatles record. Like,
yes, I do know.
You remember that?
Horrible, awful, shitty.
People are going to look back on at this and go, "We've made a mistake."
I agree.
Like, but they can't undo it. Maybe people, I guess that's like the thing now. People undo history. Right. I don't like that.
The dinosaurs are not real.
Dude, people think that, man.
It's crazy.
People think that that dinosaurs didn't exist. Like the museum is real though. But no, I don't know about those dinosaurs.
Yeah, it's just those bones are just made.
That's the only that's what those people have to think though, right? Like if you don't believe that dinosaurs exist and you had to explain the skeletons of them, right? Well, how do people think that they're just created? Like, oh, they made that.
And it doesn't seem like this was like a thing 10 years ago. It just kind of started happening where like now people are like facts are arguable, or you can argue facts. Like
you can argue that Post Malone is good.
He's not.
No, not at all.
Like a fact, like the sky is blue or the world is flat. It's kind of like you just can't. You can't have a conversation.
Yeah, because the world is flat.
Every world. So are all the planets flat or just us?
The moon is actually almost like inverted.
Okay.
Right, because that's more like a...
Like a bowl.
Maybe like a bowl.
Okay.
Cylinder, right?
Right.
And then who even knows what Pluto is? They said it was a planet. Now it's not.
Yeah.
Like, that's confusing. See, science don't know everything.
All right, moving on. Speaking of the Beatles, John Lennon's Imagine album is getting a new release in a massive new box set. 140 songs in this collection. The 1971 album Imagine is on the way. 6 discs, 140 songs, including demos, outtakes, isolated tracks, and a new mix of the record, and an audio documentary tracking the evolution of each song. Unfortunately,
Yoko.
The project was overseen by...
I knew it.
Yoko Ono, who wrote the preface of a 120-page book accompanying the set. She writes, Imagine was created with immense love and concern for the children of the world. I hope you enjoy it. The Ultimate Collection is due October 5th.
Fucking Yoko, God.
In addition to the new box set, a restored version of John Lennon and Yoko Ono's 1972 film Imagine will be hitting theaters in September. The film, along with the documentary Gimme Some Truth, will be released on DVD, Blu-ray, and digitally October 5th as well.
Does Imagine have the song God on it?
I'm going to have to look.
This is
a CD. This is not records yet.
Right. Yeah, 6 discs. That would be like 12 records. That'd be crazy. John is probably like my least favorite Beatle, but Imagine is a fucking
George
great
Harrison
album,
is my
man.
Favorite Beatle.
Yeah, I like Ringo before I even like John, actually. And Paul. Paul's my least favorite Beatle.
It's hard. You know, I think Ringo's, but well, Ringo's such a badass.
Actually, Yoko is my least favorite Beatle. She infiltrated him, dude.
She did.
I mean, God. I don't know if that's true or not.
Oh, man, did you hear that? That was, like, fucking vicious.
Every time
I'm still pissed about it.
The thing, like, we've had this conversation before. They were going to break up regardless, but they would have gotten back together.
They would have had Billy Preston officially become a member.
Well, they kind of made him, within that club, within, like, the four of the Beatles club and, like, George Martin,
yes.
The behind-the-scenes guys. Billy Preston was a fucking Beatle.
Okay.
There's no denying that. He was also a Stone. He was also in the Rolling Stones.
But it's weird that somebody needs to do a documentary on him just like he was a Beatle, he was a Stone.
Dude, there has to be one.
Not a big one.
Well, he also played, you know, I think he played with, played on the Harrison All Things Must Pass album.
Yes, 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 he did.
Imagine's a great album, man.
It is, like, but do we need a 140 track collection of everything?
Well, there's Lennon was kind of like you had Lennon and McCartney. That was the Beatles, right? That for that formula, pop sounding songs,
right? Those are the two big.
Yeah, they were the guys, and then Harrison was the soul of the band. You know, like he was on a more emotional level. Granted, you know, Lennon and McCartney had. Best songwriting team of all time.
Right.
No one's better than those guys. But they were very kind of formulaic in the way they wrote, where Harrison was a little more like unorthodox and there was
experimental.
Yeah, when the Beatles machine, they had to write hits. They weren't trying to do the fucking like Ravi Shankar, Hare Krishna stuff. They eventually they got into that later,
yeah.
But they were kind of, you know, very tunnel vision on the songs that they wrote, but the song, I mean, goddamn, you start naming Beatles songs, most people would love to write one of them.
Right.
You know, and they wrote every album, there's 6 just timeless songs on them, you know. And then the Lennon, that, you know, John had a lot of great solo albums.
Yes, he did.
Plastic Ono Band is good. I mean, other than the obvious, that's a great rock album. But Imagine is, you know, the as close I think the Beatles would have sounded had they stayed together, because they were doing, you know,
were the last
Let It Be, right, was like the last Beatles album.
What was and it they Let It Be, or was it Abbey Road? Road
Let It Be was the last one,
because that was, but it was after they broke up that they released that, right?
Yeah, they broke up during that album, and
okay.
They broke up while it was being recorded,
okay,
and then they were able to piece it together, finish it, then they released it, right? But that has Let It Be on it, right? That big anthemic, like, song. It's huge.
Yes, it is.
And that's McCartney. So then when they broke up, John, you know, fuck you, I'm going to write a fucking song like that. Imagine. Bam. And it blew it out of the fucking water, dude.
I agree.
But it's the same, like, the talent in that band is something that will never be achieved again in music. Those were 4 people that were, like, came together at the exact right moment and had I mean, they're the fucking Beatles, dude. Like, holy shit.
And most people don't realize that a lot of, like, the guitar progressions and stuff like that in the Beatles are actually pretty difficult to play.
Oh, my God. Like, unbelievably tough guitar playing. because they were so meticulous, though. Like, those guys were, they were studio fiends, you know? Yeah. Like, they could, they would walk into a studio and their eyes would open. Like, they would be in a, it would be like traveling to a new dimension, like, for you and I. They would go in there and they saw, it was like they saw the Matrix.
Yeah.
They knew exactly what to do, what they needed to do the, to yield the best results and stuff. I mean, those guys were fucking, I mean, it's just unbelievable. Like, it's, that's an unbelievable band. Occurrence, right? Yes. That's on the same playing field as dinosaurs.
There you go.
They are, dude. I mean, Beatles and dinosaurs.
Beatles and dinosaurs. Okay, imagine coming soon. Let's get out a little bit of funny news. Snoop Dogg announces From Crook to Cook cookbook. Yes, he's going to have a cookbook out with his favorite recipes.
Who?
Snoop Dogg.
Oh, shit.
It is called From Crook to Cook, Platinum Recipes from the Boss Dogg's Kitchen. Arrives October 23rd.
Is it a THC infused book?
Like you can know.
No, like you can smoke the book when you're done with it.
50 recipes will be included in this book and from Snoop's own collection, including snacks to satisfy those munchies. You know what's blazing up in my kitchen? I'm taking the cookbook game higher with a dipped and whipped collection of my favorite recipes. You dig, is what Snoop Dogg says.
Hypothetical question right here. You think those are his recipes? Like, legit?
I would imagine.
Remember when he had a show with Martha Stewart?
Yeah.
There you go.
So his recipes range from baked mac and cheese to lobster thermidor and filet mignon. And Snoop's very own gin and juice recipe as well. The cover of the cookbook is hilarious. It's black and gold. And it has Snoop Dogg in a wife beater outfit and a do-rag over his head serving a plate of mac and cheese or cereal is what it looks like.
Didn't Snoop like produce porn for a little bit?
Yes, he did. He had a porn company.
I remember that.
Now he's doing Martha Stewart in cookbooks.
He's doing Martha Stewart in a cookbook. Martha Stewart's hot.
Yeah, Martha Stewart's very hot. David Letterman had a thing for her at one point. Still does, probably.
Dude, everybody has it. Martha Stewart is like the...
I think Candace Bergen and Martha Stewart really look the same. Like, they're kind of like can be sisters or cousins.
You know the best thing about Martha Stewart, though, is like...
She's an inmate.
That bumped her up, dude. You're like, damn, this chick went to prison.
Right? She did.
For insider trading. Right? But she would take, imagine if you're sick and Martha Stewart is your significant other. You would be eating like the best shit. She'd have all these home remedies going for you. Like she'd make you some sort of like Segway out of lollipop sticks or something, right? She's like, oh, no, here, you don't have to walk to the bathroom. Just roll out of the bed, and it'll zip you right into the bathroom.
I agree.
She would do it, man. Like, I bet she always smells like potpourri, too. Hmm. Right to the inside of, like, Michael's. Right?
You smell like the inside this of MJ Designs.
Smell like that fucking fake plant. Is it MJ Designs or Michaels?
I think they're two different places, but the same place.
Hmm.
All right. I'm only mentioning this new bit of news right now that we're moving on because you mentioned it the other day at the record store. Kristen Stewart, who I dislike, who is basically the equivalent of a wooden fence post, actually just a wooden fence log, stars in Interpol's new video for their new song, If You Really Love Nothing, because I think you mentioned the new Interpol album the other day, so I brought this up. What do you think about Interpol's new song and video?
It's not a bad album. I kind of got interested in it because it had a guy on there from the band Jellyfish, Roger Joseph Manning Jr.
Yes.
I saw his name on there, and I was like, well, that's interesting, because he's much older than them, too. He's probably 20 years older than the guys in Interpol.
Yeah.
And I love Jellyfish, man. Like, that band kind of sounds like Queen. Like, fucking good power pop band. But, yeah, I'm not a fan of Kristen Stewart, man.
Nobody is.
Well, they were.
And she, unfortunately, she's going to be in the new remake of Charlie's Angels, which is directed by Elizabeth Banks, which is going to be terrible on all sorts of levels. Anyway, moving on.
They should just call it the Me Too Angels.
Yes, Me Too Angels. That's what it should be called.
They should get Rose McGowan and Asia Argento, right? Cast them.
Yes.
With Kristen Stewart. Because they all hate men now, right? Like, yes, that's the thing.
Which is weirdly weird.
Weirdly weird.
Weird. Strangely weird.
I mean, I don't really care for dudes either, but you don't have to shave your head, you know? Right? Like, what happened to her? What happened to Rose McGowan?
Oh, man, they went off the deep end.
But she must have already kind of, like, been drifting on the line, though, right? Like, she must have shown signs of it that we didn't see, of her craziness, right?
Who?
Rose McGowan.
Well, she dated Marilyn Manson, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, but so did that fucking, I mean, Rock,
she
rock
went naked to an award show that was televised.
The thing, I don't, with rockers, man, that's the whole point of, like, why you kind of do a band. Because then if you do a band, then you kind of, I don't know how to say this, I guess, except to make it sound PC, I suppose.
Don't sound PC.
Well, I don't want to offend everybody, but you do. It would be like the same as like maybe an athlete or like if you or like a cheerleader even, right? There's some sort of you're like all of a sudden you're in a band. You're visually people can see you, right? Your audience instantly grows, right? And then you factor in like, well, hot chicks, some. People like musicians, you know what I mean? Like, I like models. I can't always have models, you know?
Yeah.
But if you're a musician, right? Marilyn Manson. The window kind of opens of, like, you start to meet all these different people, right?
Correct.
Just happens that way. I don't know. Like Keith Richards, right? Not a great-looking dude.
Gets all the chicks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't leave my girlfriend in a room with him. Actually, I probably would. I'd say, you're going to fucking do what he tells you to do.
Y'all have fun.
Yeah, you better. Yeah, you don't have to have fun. He better have fun.
Yes. All right, moving on. Interesting topic. Man arrested, charged for Beyonce Jay-Z stage invasion.
Oh, I saw that.
The man rushed the stage during Ape Shit has been charged with simple battery. The man who rushed stage during Atlanta's stop of Beyonce and Jay-Z's On the Run 2 tour on Saturday has been arrested and charged with simple battery. The guy was 26 years old. He ran on stage at the close of the show. At the end of that song, he was stopped by security and the Carter's dancers and originally received a citation for disorderly conduct, but now it's up the ante. I remember seeing like old school concerts of Michael Jackson and like other rock shows and people just get on stage. It's kind of the part of it. Why does this guy, what, I mean, did he attack them? I don't think so.
Well, man, at some point we're going to get to a point where you're going to have like armed security guards on stage. Cause think about like when that guy killed Dimebag, hell, even John Lennon, right? Got shot walking down the street.
But now they prevent that with all the security.
You would think like so, right? But then you factor in like the Vegas thing, whether you think like that was some sort of fucking government setup or
that's not going to protect anybody. Cause that was in like 20-story hotel firing down.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying, though, is like it's same with movies, right? You could used to go to a movie and not have to worry about getting shot. Now you could get shot in a movie theater. Fucking Abraham Lincoln got shot in a fucking movie theater.
Yeah,
or a theater.
Which is scary. And it's interesting you bring this up because just as last night, Monday Night Raw wrestling was happening in Toronto. It was a huge crowd. A few hours beforehand, some guy on Twitter posted a message. Actually, I'll read it. Posted a message on Twitter that he was going to the show, and his tweet said, hold on, I got my gun through security and will shoot myself in the head and kill myself during tonight's Raw in Toronto. Don't you dare miss it. Thanks for the memories. And this guy is Jason Sensation is what he was referred to, but it turns out he was like, back in the early days, he was like kind of like a... not a troll, but like he did impressions of wrestlers. He was on some of their radio shows and stuff like that. But it like freaked people out.
Oh, I bet, dude. You can't do shit like that. Fuck
but
that guy.
Of course, he didn't show up. He said it was a joke. Police got to him and stuff like that.
They should have. Dude, I'll tell you what. Like, if I'm ever playing a show somewhere and someone hops up on stage that I don't know, you can bet your ass, dude, they're going to get fucked up.
No, I totally agree with that.
And like, I don't even know. What's crazy is... Did you watch the video of the guy that got up there? I did not.
But does he go up to them and like?
Oh yeah, dude. Like he fucking he's on the stage for a good man 6-7 seconds before anybody even approaches him.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, like you're. I mean, I don't much care for Beyonce or Jay-Z, but dude, they're fucking billionaires, right?
Right.
They should have they should have security out the ass, dude.
So, do you think this guy should be charged with?
Oh, fuck yeah, he should be charged. He should.
Or do you think he's get his ass kicked?
He should have got. I would have. In a perfect world, right? Jay-Z, he probably already knows this, but I know you're out there listening. You should have had your security guard just break his arm, break one of his legs, and then go, yeah, this guy got up on stage and whatever happened, he fell and we tackled him. And yeah, his arm and legs got broken. But that dude should be fucking, he should do fucking jail time, dude, for hopping up there like that. You can't jump on stage. Like, you don't fuck, what are you up there doing? You're not
but
contributing.
You know, you've seen concerts where people get on stage and it's
that
all ain't, fine.
That's not cool, though. Like, getting on stage is not, unless you get fucking.
Like, even at Woodstock when Canty was playing, that guy gets on stage and just kind of like hangs
dude,
out, takes a cigarette.
You
and
can't,
smoke.
But the thing is, though, we live in a fucking world now where everything's so backwards and stupid. You can't do that anymore because you don't know who that person is. Like, yeah. The guy at Woodstock is totally different from some fucking dim-witted fuckhead who would get up there now.
Yes. I agree with that.
That guy never, like, the guy up at Woodstock, he never tried to grab a microphone or get physical with anyone.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they freaked me out when Dimebag got killed, you know, when that guy shot him at the concert when he was playing. That fuck, I'm like, golly, man. In a way, it's like, you go out, they say, oh, we went out doing something you love, right? Like, that's how you die, but it's like, dude, to get killed fucking while you're performing?
Which sucks.
Is like, that used to not be a problem. Like, that was, who would have ever thought that would happen, right? Especially in music, right? Because music is that thing that everybody gets. Most people, right? Like, there's a unity, right, with music. There's no really a division unless it's shit music like Post Malone.
Right.
But yeah, that's wonky, dude. But the dude that jumped up on the stage at the Jay-Z and Beyonce thing, yeah, dude, that guy should be fucking fined with like criminal trespassing, all kinds of shit. Okay. They should have shot him. Like, I'm serious, dude. If you're gonna do something stupid,
it's scary.
Like,
you're up there performing, and somebody gets up there. I mean, yeah. They do that like in the WWE ring. If they and there's you can look on YouTube, and you bet your ass there's montages of fans getting into the ring, and they are taken out by the wrestlers.
Oh, I remember the video of the referee that took a guy out in WCW that time.
They get their ass kicked.
They should, dude.
Out.
You can't do. I mean, it seems great. Like any bands like Green Day, right? They'll invite someone up on stage. If you get invited by a band up there, that's totally different. If you get up. It would be like if you jumped in the ring while a boxing match was going on. What do you think's going to happen? You think those motherfuckers are going to stop and go, oh, hey, buddy, are you lost? Are you okay? You're going to get fucking lit up.
Yeah.
I bet Jay-Z now, he's probably going to have snipers like around the, right, watching him the whole time.
Well,
I would, dude. If I had that kind of money, fuck that.
Well, they're not going to have weapons on them because they're security wherever these venues are.
You think Jay-Z's security ain't rolling with fucking weapons? You're crazy.
No. Security, but fans going to the show that bought a ticket, there's no way they're getting into any venue they play at without anybody knowing.
Never know, man. I mean, it's crazy. Like when the Eagles of Death Metal thing happened in France.
Yeah, which is awful.
I mean, this is like a new, it's a crazy world, man.
It is crazy. Like, all right, moving on. Interestingly enough, there is a new compilation album called 27, The Most Perfect Album, which features 27 original songs inspired by the 27 amendments to the U.S. Constitution.
Oh, my God.
It is going to feature Dolly Parton, Kevin Morby, Devendra Barnhart, and more, which they are writing and performing songs.
Did you say Dolly Parton?
Yes.
And then Devendra Barnhart. Kevin Morby is in a band called Woods. They're really good.
Okay. And then Devendra Barnhart.
Devendra Barnhart. He's great.
Yes. Also, artists include Cherry Glazer, Torres, Cash Doll, and Caroline Shaw, and The Slants.
A little indie rock compilation.
with Dolly Parton.
Yeah, it's weird Dolly Parton.
The mission of this album is to take these sometimes forgotten words and animate them through the power of music. Yeah, I guess.
Maybe. I guess Dolly Parton's doing the Second Amendment song would be my guess. Of the bands that you just did
of
on
the
there.
Guns?
Yeah. Unless one of those other artists that spins it to where it's anti-gun.
Maybe.
They wouldn't. I don't think anybody that you named on that list is probably pro-gun at all.
Super weird. It's called The Most Perfect Album.
Yeah. It's, how could it fail?
Yeah.
Let's just call it, you know what, guys? We can't really agree on it. Let's just call it The Perfect Album.
The Perfect Album.
Like The Perfect Plex.
Okay. Interesting little bit of drama in the music world, of course, with Lauryn Hill of the Fugees.
I like Lauryn Hill.
Lauryn Hill addresses Robert Glasper's stolen music accusations in new essay. She is confused as to why such a principled musician who thought I stole from his friends would show up to work for me anyway. What do you think? Do you think she writes her own shit or do you think she stole? It's all bullshit.
Man, it's...
all bullshit.
It's hard to tell. I mean, I would think that Lauryn Hill, though, is the kind of person... You know, she kind of reminds... She seems like she comes from the same school of, like, that, like Outkast. Like, a group like that.
Yeah.
Wu-Tang Clan. If they're going to borrow something or, you know, collaborate with someone or, you know, borrow a piece from someone, it seems like they would give the person credit because they're music fans, you know?
Right.
I would like to think that that's not the case, but I like Lauryn Hill.
She's a great voice. Loved her in Sister Act, too.
I always wish that, like... someone like that would like join with like a rock band, like do a rock and roll album.
That'd be badass.
You know, or like imagine if like Lauryn Hill did like Little Richard covers with like a Motorhead type backing band.
That'd be badass.
Right. No, I'm like something kind of out of her wheelhouse, but she could do, you know.
You'd wish they would do that.
It would be killer, dude. Like hopefully that's how like rock and roll gets back to the, you know, not that it should be the conquering, like, popular music genre, you know, because we're just to the point now where that kind of weird, bad hip-hop, electronic, non-human shit is just going to rule everyone till robots take over.
Yeah.
But I think if people, you know, not a crossover album where, you know, someone like Run DMC's rapping over the Aerosmith song.
Yeah.
Lauryn Hill would be belting it out like fucking Robert Plant style or something, you know? That'd be cool.
That'd be awesome.
Let's make it happen. If you get in a lawsuit, Lauren, I got your back.
There you go.
Make a rock record and pay for your legal fees.
That'd be badass. I'd listen.
Oh, right. But yeah, we could just do Led Zeppelin songs because if she sold songs, we'll just steal Led Zeppelin songs because those are stolen, right?
Yes. Our last bit of news is a bit of a good triumphant return. It involves Louis C.K., who's been away for about a year after a few women complained that he was asking them to
say
it would be okay if he jerked off in front of them.
And what did they say?
They said yes.
Oh, okay.
They said, yes, you can jerk off in front of me. But then they got all butthurt about it, and he's been away for a while. But yesterday, last night, he returned to the stage after disappearing from public view after the sexual misconduct accusations. He performed a set at the Comedy Cellar and this past weekend, and he received a standing ovation after a set. He did not mention anything from the accusations or anything. He just did his usual funny bits. But, yeah.
I love Louis C.K.
I love Louis C.K. And, you know, when this type of stuff happens in...
I saw right through this one. Of course, when it comes out, it's, like, so horrible, right? Like, oh, my God, Louis C.K., he raped someone.
Yes.
And then it turns out to be, okay, so wait a minute. Is it creepy to do that? I guess it's relative, right? Like he didn't force himself onto anyone or do anything like that, right?
No.
He just straight up, hey, thinking about rubbing one out, you want to watch?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, okay, I'll watch that. Or you know,
yeah.
Or you just say no and you leave, right?
Correct.
I don't think it's an ethics thing, right? Like morals and ethics, right? Like it's not something I would do to someone random that wasn't like a, you know, significant other.
Correct.
You know, like if you're with your girlfriend of 5 years and you go, you're just sitting on the couch, you're watching a movie and you just, man, I kind of feel like firing one off. Do you mind if I do it here? Or do I need to go to the bathroom? It's the same thing. She could say, Yeah, go ahead. I'd like to watch, yeah. Right? Or maybe jump in there. Or, no, that's gross. Go to the bathroom, right? Same situation with those people involved. I don't want to see that. Door closed. See you later.
Yeah.
He didn't fucking Harvey Weinstein anybody.
No.
I mean, and granted, that's another slippery slope with that dude as well. I'm not defending that guy by any means, but...
Out of all
he asked questions, right?
Correct.
Do you want this part?
Yes. If so,
how bad do you want it?
This is what you'll have to do.
That wasn't a new development. Yeah, like no one fucking knew that didn't happen.
And a lot of that happened in Hollywood. Harvey was just known for that.
I used to think that Louis C.K. Kevin is the person that I told this theory to. Our good friend Kevin Bybee.
How is Kevin Bybee?
I haven't talked to him in a while.
We miss you, Kevin, if you're listening.
I told him one day, we were talking, me and him were working together when the Louis C.K. thing happened. We were both fans. And he was like all upset. And I was like, dude, look, like he didn't do anything, quote unquote, legally wrong. You might not agree with what he did or, hey, that's kind of creepy. But whatever adults do, that's adults.
Yeah.
You know, like if you ask someone, hey, can I jack off
in
front of you?
It was private around closed doors, and then these women are just so upset.
Well, the trend.
They just want money and attention.
That trend train happened.
It's the Harvey Weinstein
thing. Because then everyone goes, well, I think something like that happened to me one time when it really didn't.
Yeah.
But in their mind, they create that it did. But I told Kevin that, because, you know, Louis C.K. used to write for Conan.
Correct.
Right around the time that the masturbating bear thing happened.
Yes.
So I told Kevin, I said, man, I bet Louis C.K. created masturbating bear, and that masturbating bear is like a thing that Louis C.K. would do.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, but only to like people he knew, right? Like he would create a character of like masturbating bear, right? And he's just jacking off on everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
No.
Conspiracy theory, no, right, dude?
It could be.
Jimmy Hoffa's in that diaper. Why did the bear have to have on a diaper?
It's creepier, weirder, stranger, easier access. I don't know.
A diaper?
I don't know.
I don't know, man. But Louis C.K. is great.
No, I loved Louis C.K. I'm glad he
did. Did his show get canceled because of that?
Dude, he lost everything. He lost the movie he was making.
Was he married?
FX. He was divorced, I believe. He had kid. I think he had two kids. But he didn't lose, like, he didn't get divorced or anything. But he, I don't think he was married for a second time. But he did lose all of his FX. They disbanded from him. He lost his Amazon shit, and he lost his movie that was coming out.
Man, that's a damn shame,
and
man.
And that's ridiculous to lose everything for what he did.
Check this out. You think, like, if Frank Sinatra would have started his career right now, how far you think he would have gotten?
Oh, good God, no. That dude was involved in so much shit.
You know what I mean? But he's, like, glorified, right? Yes. Same with, like, Kennedy.
Right.
Like, from JFK to Donald Trump, not a huge gap. As far as the, like, a womanizing side of it goes.
Correct.
But the thing is the people that kind of say, like, Trump's a fuckhead, like Post Malone and, you know, rappers that are referring to women as bitches and shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, there's just not a lot of people thinking. You know, like, all politicians suck. I don't like it. They're all horrible when you boil it. Who would want that job? The days of like honest politicians. That's been fucked since the 60s, dude.
Well, I think in politician wise, I think most of them start out within their first year wanting to change the world for good, and then once they really get into it,
yeah,
it's all about underhand dealings, getting
reality
paid.
Checks,
yeah,
in, dude.
Exactly.
You start to see who's pulling the fucking strings and like.
Yep.
The eyes wide shut, dude.
Nope.
Same thing, man.
Absolutely.
That's why that the Anthony Bourdain fucking... See, things like this, like Louis C.K., what if he would have dealt himself the Anthony Bourdain card over all of this shit that these chicks said,
dude?
Which
would be awful.
Would be horrible, because he didn't do anything.
He did not.
You know what I mean? Like, you could... Again, it's a fucking... Is it gross? Is it creepy? It depends on who you ask.
Yeah.
Like, if he, it's not like he asked
a, everybody.
It's not like a fucking group of Girl Scout troop knocked on his fucking door and he opened the door and he was jerking off.
Yeah.
Right.
No, these were adults behind closed doors. He was like, hey,
being adults.
Yeah.
He's a fucking comedian.
And they said yes.
What if, like, this is hypothetical, right? But let's just say that Louis C.K., this whole thing of him, like, chronically wanting to jerk off everywhere, right, happened as a joke. So he did it. Hey, the first time he did it, right, that got the ball rolling down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, mind if I jack off in front of you? And the girl goes, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. And then he probably froze and was like, oh, well, fuck, now I have to do it now. So then he did it. Then he kind of, you know, just started to fire him off even more. But yeah, that could have ended horribly for him over.
I'm glad it didn't.
Over nothing.
Like, I'm glad it didn't. I'm glad he's fine. And I will still say the two worst people out of all of these people are Bill Cosby and Kevin Spacey.
Dude, Bill,
even though I love Kevin Spacey as an actor and Bill Cosby as a comedian,
Bill Cosby should fucking hang himself.
Oh man, it's amazing that his wife is stuck by him through everything.
Why would she not, dude? He's the fucking gravy train.
Yeah.
It would. She's riding it out. It's like Anna Nicole Smith syndrome, dude.
Just ride it out the whole thing after getting married.
Bill Cosby's wife, he's like fucking Oprah Stedman.
Yes.
Why would he go against the grain ever?
Yeah.
His free ride would be done.
Yep.
You know, like, I don't fucking fault that chick at all. She's probably, I bet she's involved in it somehow.
It's exactly.
Like, I don't think you can do something for 40 years and it not be not known.
No, exactly.
You know what I mean?
And it came out back then and they did nothing. But yeah, it's crazy. So
I'm just glad that, like, nothing, we have, like, there's Mr. Rogers of the world and, like, Shel Silverstein.
I agree.
You know, Harry Nilsson's, and, you know, even, like, John Lennon was far from perfect, but he never pretended that he wasn't. You know, fucking being a human being is, you're going to fuck up.
Yes, I agree. All right.
But Louis C.K. didn't.
Louis C.K. did not.
He just likes to have a good time.
Yeah.
It's like a good jerk session.
With an audience.
Yeah, of one.
All right. Moving on to our one-hit wonder. One-hit wonder. Oh, my goodness. It is 1991. Oh my God, 1991.
I can already see this music video like I remember it.
And the band is called Right Said Fred. The song is called I'm Too Sexy. The Right Said Fred band was formed in London by brothers Fred and Richard Fairbrass. It was formed in 1989. Guitarist Rob Manzoli joined the duo in 1990.
There's a guitar player in that band?
Yes.
That's funny.
And they're two brothers, and they came up with I'm Too Sexy, which is insane because, oh my God, Jesus Christ.
Where do you start?
Where do you start? It peaked at number 2 in the UK singles chart, and outside the United Kingdom, I'm Too Sexy topped the charts in 6 countries, including Australia, Ireland, and the United States. The single equaled for record for the most weeks at number 2 on the UK singles chart without ever topping the chart, staying at number 2 for 6 weeks.
In their home.
In a row, while held back by Bryan Adams' song, Everything I Do It For You.
Robin Hood, that goddamn, foiled by that goddamn Robin Hood movie. Right? With Kevin Costner's unnecessary ass shot in it.
Jesus Christ.
Right Said Fred, dude, you know what's funny about that song is as it progresses, to me it always just, the lyrics of it, when they start with like shirt, then they just think of something else, like I'm too sexy for my dog treats.
Right? Sexy for my
dog. They just look around and they go, okay, say that now.
So interesting enough how that came up. The idea for the song came about when the two brothers were running a gym in London where, according to Richard, there were lots of narcissism and posing. One day he took his shirt off and started singing, I'm too sexy for my shirt, in front of a mirror as a joke.
In front of a gym full of dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
They recorded it as an indie rock song, but it was rejected by multiple record companies.
Wait, so there's the original is a more rockin' version?
Yeah, an indie rock song, and it was rejected before they played it to radio plugger Guy Holmes. He was initially unimpressed after playing it on his car stereo. However, his passengers latched onto the song's "I'm a Model, You Know What I Mean" hook, and he asked if the band they could rework it as a dance track.
That's the most German-sounding song.
It's like Autobahn.
Yeah. But do you remember that goofy music video for it, though? You remember, like, it just went sideways the whole time? Like, the camera always went like... Whoosh,
whoosh. Yeah. No, it's crazy. And interestingly enough, this song has a connection to Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, my God. There's a sample or something, I guess.
An acquaintance of Richard Fairbrass programmed electronics around the original vocal, whilst guitarist Rob Manzoli added a riff borrowed from the Jimi Hendrix song, Third Stone from the Sun.
God. I mean... we're worried about Lauryn Hill, right?
Yeah, we are worried about Lauryn Hill.
No one's going to go after these guys...
No.
Fucking right, said Fred. Fuck. God damn it, man.
This song got so popular, Alvin and the Chipmunks covered the version.
You know there's a Weird Al. You know Weird Al got a hold of that,
I don't see anything about Weird Al yet.
Well, you know what? Actually, he didn't need to. They already did it.
Right Said Fred in 2013 re-recorded the song I'm Too Smurfy. and it was on the soundtrack for the Smurfs 2 movie. I'm too Smurfy for my Smurf.
Oh my God, dude.
In 2014, the band appeared on the first season of American's satirical news program Last Week Tonight with John Oliver and performed lyrics aimed against Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. In August 2017,
guys took a political stance with I'm Too Sexy?
Yes.
Holy shit.
And then Taylor Swift, awful person, by the way, released her single Look What You Made Me Do and credited Right Said Fred as the chorus to her track. Follows the same rhythmic pattern of the line, I'm too sexy for my shirt.
Yeah, that's not...
At least she credited them.
Not shocking.
But yeah, this song has been like double, triple platinum. Like, it's crazy. Just the song.
You know, this is like one of those ultimate roller skating rink compilation songs.
No, this is like a song that's at weddings or bar mitzvahs, and it's like people walk down the catwalk to it. Like, you know, they form like the two lines, and you walk down it, and you like do like a goofy dance or whatever. I always did the Weekend at Bernie dance myself.
To that song?
Yes.
God, I never... I never gyrated down a hallway to that song before.
It's basically like Randling from Clerks, but like with your arms looser.
Yeah. Randall.
But... Randall is a berserker.
Man, that's weird that there's a Jimi Hendrix...
Isn't that weird?
I don't even hear a guitar in that, so I guess that's... How many copies of that thing do they sell? You said multi-platinum?
15, almost 2 million certifications.
Dang.
That's a lot for one song, especially for a song like this.
Pre-internet.
I mean, this was 1991, pre-internet. And it really is like the song starts out with like that. Actually, the song starts out with just the lyrics.
I'm too sexy.
And it really is German Autobahn.
Dude, you said they were from England, I was like, well, that's weird because that's like, that sounds like, that's German. I mean, it's very, I don't know, it's robotic even. That would have been like, they would have been huge now. 2 million in 1991, they would have sold 20 million now.
My goodness. My goodness.
You like that song?
Which one?
Didn't they... they had another song, though, that was like kind of follow-up, like a big one, I thought.
It was called Deeply Dippy.
Okay, no, I have no fucking clue what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Deeply Dippy?
Yep. Their most recent album was called Raise Your Hands, and the one before that was called Sexaholic.
Are they on tour, like playing bowling alleys?
Well, that's what I'm like looking for. Their studio albums. Holy goodness!
Don't say they have like 30.
They have studio albums: 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Dang.
Eight.
Said Fred.
2011 was the last one. They are called Up, then Sex and Travel, Smashing, Fred Head, Stand Up, For Sale, I'm a Celebrity, and Stop the World.
Hey, what if Right Said Fred covered Are You Ready for the Sex Girls?
Are you ready for the sex girls?
Right? We should. I'm not into mashups, but someone out there should do that. See if you can take the Right Said Fred and put it over the fucking Gleaming Spires, right?
Are you ready for the sex girls? The funniest part about this
actually, never mind. Don't do that. Don't fuck up that great song.
How they came up with this song is just too good.
No, it makes sense, though. Think about it. Who do you think that, like, that song was written for a very specific audience, I'm sure. I mean, if he was doing that in front of a mirror at a gym, like, that's kind of Louis C.K.-ish a little bit, right? You couldn't do that now. Right? That guy's, he's singing in front of the mirror at the gym, and I'm trying to look at myself.
But that's what was so funny from the joke. I'm just glad that they actually, like, were managers or, like, owned a gym in London, and they just noticed there's a lot of like assholes here just posing and kissing their muscles in front of the mirror.
That's what you
Wait
do.
Wait a second, I'm going to do this.
That's what goes on in a gym,
too
dude.
Sexy for my and it really is. It's like they were in a room and they're like, "I'm too sexy for my dog."
Yeah, they're just looking around,
too sexy
dude.
For my cig cup,
they're just they're saying what they see. Because you can do it with anything, right? Like, that's a song where you could interject any word and it'll work.
I'm too smurfy for my smurf.
They even did that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Couldn't say sexy then.
Which is the second week in a row where, like, a
now
band...
Now they put kids in drag.
Yes, yes.
When it isn't Halloween.
Fuck. But yes, that is I'm Too Sexy, Right Said Fred. You can find the single, hopefully, somewhere.
You can find it. I'm sure they got a ton of them at... multiple locations of Goodwill throughout the continental United States.
I like that the label that it was released on was called Tug. T-U-G.
Of course it was. They signed the Village People. Right? As well as other acts like Wham and Aha.
And interestingly enough, in April 2008, the song was rated number 49 on the 50 worst songs ever. By a website called Blender, which is, I just don't get.
That was number what?
A 50? Number 49 of 50 of the worst songs ever.
What was number one on that list?
I don't know. But in 2007, the song was voted number 80 on VH1's 100 Greatest Songs of the 90s. And it was voted number 2 on VH1's 40 Greatest One-Hit Wonders.
That's not 90s. A great song from the 90s. It's like a defining, that's like, this is how bad it got. That's what this song is. Like like 90s Genesis.
The song, for some reason, reminds me, and we'll probably get to this one-hit wonder at some point, but that, oh, yeah.
Oh, you know what that song is, though? The I'm Too Sexy.
What?
It laid the groundwork for one of your favorite bands, Crash Test Dummies.
Oh, yes.
Right? It's... Because then, no one had ever, I don't think anyone had ever made that blatantly of lazy of a song before, of like, I'm too sexy for my patio furniture, all right? Like, yeah. you're just saying it, like, the structure is the same for every voice, right?
I'm
for every
too
verse.
Sexy for my turtleneck sweater.
Yeah. It's like, well, cool, whatever's going on, just say it. I mean, that. Kudos to those guys, though. They did it, dude. They wrote a hit.
They did, and it's still playing.
They were like the Monkees for 2 months. Only in America, though, right? They never got number one in their home state.
No, in Australia, Austria, and UK, they were goddamn number one.
You know what? I bet
Canada.
I bet Germany hated them.
In Ireland. In New Zealand.
Germans were probably like, these guys are fucking making fun of us. These fucking... these shit teeth fucking English motherfuckers, right?
Yeah.
Those angry Germans.
Because if you think about
they're fucking still our sound.
No, you really think that when you hear the song, you really think of
80s Germany.
The Germans from Big Lebowski singing it with like the big scissors, Autobahn. You really do think that.
Yeah, totally. Dude, that's what it is. It's a freeway jam. You can't go fucking 55 miles an hour listening to that song.
All right.
You're going 58.
58 miles.
Yeah, man. You're pushing into the 5-over territory.
Oh, that's so funny.
I'm too sexy for the speed limit. Any word works. Like, just say one. Do the line and just say the first thing that comes to you.
I'm too sexy for my coffee cup.
See? And then you just get a different coffee cup because it's you're sexy.
I'm too sexy for it.
Because what it's essentially saying is whatever you're saying you're too sexy for isn't sexy enough for you.
Yeah.
Right? I'm so you just, you're doing away with it.
For my graham cracker.
Yeah. You get another graham cracker. Right?
You're like bobbing up and down right now.
Because if you get into it, because then it's a fun, hokey song, because then it turns into a comedy routine, right?
It is.
I'm too sexy for this microphone.
Too sexy for this microphone.
I think I'll have another one.
Too sexy.
Right?
It hurts.
Yeah, it hurts, right? Because it every word, dude, any word works, man. I'm too sexy for this automobile. Get a new one. Get a fucking new one. Upgrade yourself. That's the original Beyonce upgrade song. Let me upgrade you, right? That's the I'm too sexy.
Oh,
I'm upgrading.
Good shit. Okay. Before we get to Jimi Hendrix, I'm going to ask a question to Jacob.
Oh, God.
This will try to be an unbalanced note.
I don't have my number two pencil today for the test.
Damn it.
I do have the Scantron and my chapstick ready.
All right. All right. Here we go. You ready?
Not really.
Is Hotel California, the song, actually a horror story?
They say it's about hell, that Hotel California is hell.
Is it hell?
I hate the fucking Eagles. But I've heard a lot of, there's something weird on the cover of that album as well. Or not on the cover, on the back cover.
Okay.
They're in the lobby of that hotel and there's like a silhouette of a person up on the second floor in the back. Yeah. And they say it's like a demon.
Like, do you think, like, the song itself, like, is kind of like a horror story? Do you think it's, like, about addiction? Do you think it's about hell or, like...
I've tried to not listen to that song.
Okay.
I mean, I could care...
Even by the Gypsy Kings?
To be honest with you, I could care less what that song is about.
Okay.
The Eagles, to me, are, like, the antithesis of, like, what music should not be.
Are they, like, the Post Malone of that era?
To me, they're like the Dave Matthews of like the 70s.
Oh, that's bad.
But that's what they are. That's exactly what they are. That's the most contrived, non-original, half-hearted shit I've ever heard.
Hmm. Explain.
Well, okay, their fan base. Like, the fan base that goes to a Dave Matthews concert is the exact same fan base that goes to Leonard Skinner show. Fuck, they'd get, those people would get annihilated. It's corporate rock and roll is what it is.
Okay. It's like it's safe.
I wonder if anyone ever asked like Frank Zappa what he thought about the Eagles, because he would be a person that would tell you exactly how it is. Those guys were fucking, and I'm a Poco fan. The only reason that if Poco wouldn't have existed, I probably would say that I do like the Eagles. Because then I wouldn't know where to start. But Poco is the band where the Eagles stole their whole thing from. They even took two members from the band. Like, there used to be a joke that the Poco was like the farm league, like the farm league baseball team for the Eagles.
Yeah.
They would pick the songs and pick the members. So that's where Randy Meisner came from,
mm-hmm.
and Timothy B. Schmidt both came from Poco.
Okay.
And Poco happened 4-5 years before the Eagles did. The Poco was Richard Furay from Buffalo Springfield.
Okay.
You know, with Stephen Stills, yes. Neil Young.
Yes.
And so he left when they broke up, that's what he did. But yeah, I'm not into it, man.
But not, don't even,
I like Joe Walsh. I love Joe Walsh.
You don't like that song.
Man, the Eagles are a band where if I am in a room and like they start playing and I'm able to leave the room, I will leave. Like, okay. Everything about Don Henley just makes my skin crawl, man.
He lives here.
Yeah, I've encountered him. I've sold him some guitars. Like, he's exactly how I thought he would be. But the guy who wrote Hotel California is a guy named Don Felder. Don Felder is who Joe Walsh replaced in the Eagles.
Okay.
Don Felder was a great songwriter. He was the only one really with any talent in the Eagles when they started. And then, of course, Joe Walsh. Glenn Frey was okay, but I don't know, man. That music just doesn't... It seems so fake to me. Like, I don't know why people would listen to the Eagles when they could just listen to Jackson Browne. Or even Linda Ronstadt. Like, early Linda Ronstadt. That's the same. It's the exact same music as the Eagles.
But Jackson Brown's way better.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He is, but he's, you know, when the Eagles play a concert, there's 20,000 people there. Jackson Brown plays a concert.
200.
Nah, there's more. I mean, there's a couple of thousand. You know, okay. Maybe 1,500, 2,000 people. Just for the sake of argument, I would wish I could say that there would be more. You know, Jackson Brown is.
Maybe we'll sell out House of Blues.
But nah, he would sell out, you know, like the place out in Grand Prairie, you know, like a couple of thousand. Yeah. But I don't know. I haven't seen Jackson Brown in a long, long time.
Okay.
But I feel like I saw him out in Verizon in Grand Prairie. But yeah, do you like the Eagles?
No.
Okay, good.
I don't have
most people look at me like I'm crazy when I say that. Like, I also don't like the Doors.
So, Doors is, like, very 50-50 amongst a lot of people. I mean, there's a lot of Doors that I like, for sure.
Well, I guess I should preface this with, I dislike the Eagles to the point where I know every Eagles song, but if it was ever like, hey, what's that? Oh, it's a new Eagles song. I liked it, I would make myself not like it.
Okay.
But, and I don't dislike the Doors. I just don't get all the hype.
No, I have Doors albums. I just, yeah, they're not my favorite.
Yeah, I have Morrison Hotel. I mean, I just don't think they were really that great.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they think I'm amazing. I met John Densmore, the drummer. We had him in the store one time.
Nice dude.
He was really nice, yeah.
Cool.
He was there for like 3 hours.
That's badass.
Yeah, he was really nice. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, dude. Like, how many people have met someone that's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Not much.
Very many.
All right. Let's move on to our main event. James Marshall Hendricks, born Johnny Allen Hendricks on November 27th, 1942, otherwise known as Jimi Hendricks. He is a rock guitarist, singer, and songwriter.
Alien.
His career only spanned 4 years, but in those 4 years, he accomplished more than pretty much everybody else that ever held a guitar. He is one of the most celebrated musicians in the modern era, and he garnered sounds from a guitar that nobody ever did before he did. That dude just is a badass. And unfortunately, he is part of the 27 Club. He died at the age of 27. He is a badass. So, Jimi Hendrix, where do you start, sir?
Well, you talk about, like, that's...
Well, first, I believe Jimmy was in the Army in 1961.
He was in the Air Force. I think he was in the...
It says U.S. Army, and I guess he...
He was in the Army, because he was a paratrooper.
Correct.
That's right.
And after that...
He played with Little Richard.
Yes. Yes, he did.
That's where he... So, Chuck Berry and Jimi Hendrix are like the two people that went, hey, you want to do rock guitar? One guy started it, the other guy finished it.
Yes.
That's open, close, dude. Because what Hendrix did was so far ahead of anything else that anybody else was doing. Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck. Even like Dwayne Allman, he was pushing it just as much forward as Hendrix was. To me, Dwayne Allman's the best guitar player ever. Jimi Hendrix is number two. It depends on who you ask, but most people that are big into guitar and really get it, those would usually be the answers.
Right.
And the way Hendrix manipulated sound, not just with his guitar, but with his voice, when he made albums, like... He did things in such a forward, like, it wasn't like he wasn't in the right time period. Like, he should be in like the year 2040.
Yes.
Like he transcended, and like he came back and was like, hey, check this out, man. Here's some like crazy alien music. And you know, you hear like Foxy, like just think of the beginning of Foxy Lady with that. Well, it's just that building of sound, right? And there's all those... And he was so loud. My parents got to see him a bunch, and they would tell me, like... They would see him at Fair Park Coliseum. And they'd park the car kind of near the overpass of 30. There used to be none of those businesses and buildings. Right. Some of them were there, but most of it was a lot of grass and parking. So they had a ton of events there. And they said they could hear him. They parked the car, you know, 2-3 blocks away. And PA systems weren't really huge yet. This was like 1968, I think, when they saw him, before Woodstock.
Yeah.
And, just the volume that guy played at, I mean, that's
it. Crazy, but adding to that, I think he really started out as a backup musician
for Curtis
Wilson
Knight.
Pickett, Slim Harpo, Sam Cooke, Ike and Tina, and Jackie Wilson.
He played with a lot of people.
And Joe Tex and Ronnie Isle granted Hendrix an audition that led to an offer to become the guitarist for the Isley Brothers, which, of course, he took.
Yep.
Which is just cool. But then, you know, playing all these blues and kind of like the soul R&B stuff, he really developed this sound that you say that is just otherworldly that nobody ever did. And that, yeah, very futuristic and just nobody was doing. And it didn't have a beat. It didn't have it like a... It just worked.
The only people like up to that point that were doing things similar to what Hendrix did with when Are You Experienced came out,
mm-hmm,
was like Screamin' Jay Hawkins.
Yes.
Muddy Waters. And I just had a brain for Little Richard.
So
what Hendrix did was he played with Little Richard, got to perform with him.
Yes.
And went, man, this guy is a showman. If I'm going to elevate my playing and what I want to do with music, I have to do that. So he learned from the fucking best. He basically was Little Richard on acid.
Correct. Like, he did all this stuff. And what was so interesting about Jimi Hendrix, he was a guitar player, and he played as in the band with a bunch of big famous people. But then he got out on his own with the Experience. Because he wasn't really doing well on the R&B circuit. So he was like, fuck it.
Well, he was being held back, dude. Like, he was bigger than that. Like, most people never really get to, like, realize their full potential, right?
Right.
Just general life. And then when people find things they're good at to excel to that level, like, that's Beatles territory.
Yeah.
Like, nothing like that has ever happened or will happen again. Like, you get a fucking, you know, Post Malone is groundbreaking, right? You're like, is that a fucking joke?
Yeah.
But Jimi Hendrix was a, you know, he kind of had the same effect that the Beatles did as far as a culture shock thing that happened. Because no one looked like that.
It's, no, nobody. Because he, you know, that was during the flower, like 1966-ish. And so he's like, yeah, I'm going to wear all the purple. I'm going to wear the bandana. I'm going to wear like the flowery, the jean jacket, you know.
But he, you know, it's funny. You said, I'm glad you said like, I'm going to wear that. Because I think that like, that's just everything that guy did was just like an extension of himself. Like no one ever looked. Jimi Hendrix replicating his guitar parts,
right,
is fucking impossible. Like, well, it's not impossible, but a very few amount of people can do it correctly.
Right.
Because his hands were huge.
Yeah.
And the way his style was nothing had ever been. He was kind of playing piano. Like, he could use his thumb and.
Correct.
Fret notes where most people's hands, they just didn't move that way.
Yeah, he had long fingers, so he was able to get these, like, two or three sounds.
But then when you,
thing.
Like, if you watch the footage of him at Woodstock, correct, right? He's flying on acid, and he's up there chewing bubble gum.
Yeah.
And just, everything is natural. It doesn't even look like he's trying. He doesn't even break a fucking sweat.
Yeah.
And he is fucking crushing it.
And it's interesting, a lot of people do not know this, I mean, big music fans and people who love Woodstock would, but Jimi Hendrix was the main event of Woodstock. He played on the last final day. There were over 1 million people at Woodstock. Only like 2,000 or 3,000 people actually saw Jimi Hendrix play at Woodstock because everybody left home. And if you actually look at the documentary of Woodstock, you know, the big one that's coming up on its 55th year, you would see that there's only like a couple thousand people watching Hendrix
play. Sparse attendance.
No, and he was one of the, and that's where he debuted like that insane version of the Star Spangled Banner.
Well, no, he'd played it. I think he'd played it before.
See, I thought that's where he debuted it.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's true.
Well, we'll have to look.
You also said there was over 1 million people at Woodstock.
I'm going to look this up and we're going to figure it out. But his first album, Experienced. are you experienced? The North American release.
You can't really talk about Jimi Hendrix without talking about Chaz Chandler, though, from the Animals.
We will. We will talk about
because that's who made his career happen.
Chaz Chandler?
Yeah, Chaz Chandler did. And then Chaz Chandler saw him in America and went, we got to get you to England. Like, you have to break over there first. You're not going to break here because these people don't get it.
Because Are You Experienced first came out in UK.
Yeah.
And has a different song list than the US version.
Yeah, different order.
Yes.
Chaz Chandler fucking single-handedly made Jimi Hendrix happen.
Why do you think that is?
Because that's exactly what happened.
Okay.
He found him, and it's one of those where the thing planets just aligned. The stars were correct. Like the same with the Beatles. They just all came together at the appropriate time. Chaz Chandler was in the Animals. I think he was the bass player, and yeah, he heard Hendrix somewhere. He was in some club, and he instantly saw where this guy should be. He knew, he heard what he was doing. He was on the same wavelength. So with what Hendrix was doing to what the music he was playing to Chaz Chandler, it didn't sound new. He was on the same wavelength. He got it. He goes, man, I know what this guy's trying to do, and I have the tools and the resources to help him. And he did. It's kind of the same way with Jackson Browne and David Bowie that got Stevie Ray started.
Okay.
They went, this guy has a huge talent. We want to help him out. And that's what Chaz Chandler did. So yeah, then they took him to Europe or took him to England, put a band around him, fucking Noel Redding and Mitch Mitchell. That's it, dude. You fucking send him into a studio and they come out with Are You Experienced, which is fucking
so on
Purple Haze, Foxy Lady, Hey Joe, Manic Depression, like.
So Hey Joe wasn't on the UK version.
Yeah,
it was on the US.
Yep,
Purple Haze, Manic Depression, Hey Joe, May This Be Love, I Don't Live Today, The Wind Cries Mary, Fire, Third Stone from the Sun, Foxy Lady, and Are You Experienced. And if that's the first thing that you hear, you're just like, wow, what's next?
That song, Are You Experienced,
mm-hmm.
is like, that is the most psychedelic song in the history of psychedelic music.
Why?
Because it's fucking all this backwards guitar, back masking, tape manipulation.
It said the song is largely based on one chord and has a drone-like quality.
Yeah,
reminiscent of Indian classical music.
Yeah, it's very kind of, you know, how the Beatles started to get in the Middle Eastern sounds. It's very, yes. Dude, that song is phenomenal, man. And then you have, you know, so they do Are You Experienced, right? Huge. Then they fucking do Axis Bold as Love. Huge.
Which, Axis Bold as Love, I mean, on there,
that's my favorite Hendrix album.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So that has Little Wing.
Yeah, Castles Made of Sand. If Six Was Nine, Wait Until Tomorrow, Up from the Skies, and that is Mitch Mitchell and Noel Redding as well, and Chaz Chandler as the producer again.
Yeah, so I'm telling you, dude, Chaz Chandler was the key player in the Jimi Hendrix thing, man. Hendrix was then Electric Ladyland. Then that's what, you know, that fucking Voodoo Child's on that, and his cover of All Along the Watchtower.
Yes, then
1983, A Merman Shall Be, dude.
So yeah, you think you hear that, and you know, a lot of people think All Along the Watchtower. That's
the fucking
Hendrix song, but no, it's not.
Yes,
yeah. Bob Dylan.
Yeah, I would say Jimi Hendrix was Bob Dylan's biggest fan. He loved Bob Dylan. Who didn't?
No, yeah, exactly. Who didn't? But there's also, as you saw today, that like Hendrix has tons of records out that are like bootleg or like of covers.
Well, he was only
performances.
That's the crazy thing, dude. When you start to break down the greatness of a person like Jimi Hendrix, mm-hmm. the first thing you said when we started was he only recorded music for four years.
Holy shit!
Right. And every time I hear, even like Purple Haze is probably like my least favorite Jimi Hendrix song just because you hear it all the time, you know?
Yeah.
But every time I hear that song, it still sounds brand new.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't sound like 1967.
No. He recorded his own music for 4 years. He played for only 7 years, and that included being in like a band with all the people we mentioned.
Before he was Jimi Hendrix.
Yes.
He was James Marshall.
And even if you say 4 to 7 years, you know, that amount of time. I mean, you can name 500 bands that never come close to the ounce of talent that Jimi Hendrix had in those 4 years.
Dude, Hendrix is one of those people where if you took like someone's best album, like the best, their best foot forward, and then you took Jimi Hendrix's worst song that he completed, not something he was working on that they released after his death, his worst song is usually better than most people's best album.
I agree.
I mean, he...
So
you and, mean, and the, his lyrics, everything he's talking about, like, I mean, he was... No one was doing that.
So you playing a guitar yourself, what did Hendrix love in guitars? Like, what did he look for? What did he play? What was his go-to guitar?
Oh, he was, you know, Fender Stratocasters. But he was... Hendrix was one of the first people to really kind of utilize the what effects pedals, you know, fuzz pedals and wah right. pedals and, you know, univibe, like vibe pedals
right.
could do in a live setting. Because most people would, oh, you know, those Finnick, because that technology was relatively new. Stomp boxes and things for stage that are changing the sound.
Right.
He didn't care, dude. He wasn't scared. He would, because his, that was a sonic assault, man. Like, well, if you went to a Jimi Hendrix concert and you were in the first 10 rows, you were about to get fucking melted.
Yeah.
I mean, no. And he opened for the Monkees.
Which is weird. Which is crazy.
Those kids, all of them, I bet, had orgasms and didn't know what happened.
And it's funny you say that.
From just the sound.
From the sound. So it's interesting. They kind of perfectly got his sound and what people may have thought at first in the movie Back to the Future. Michael J. Fox gets on stage and plays a Chuck Berry song, Johnny Be Good. But towards the end of the song, he goes into the Jimi Hendrix type of psychedelic riffs. He's on the floor scooching back. He's playing on the back of his head.
Oh, he's playing like Eddie Van Halen there, but he's doing like the Hendrix mannerisms, like the showman.
Yes.
Because the reason I say that he basically was an extension of Little Richard is that you can't get up and walk away from a piano and do all that. You can't gyrate.
Yeah.
So Hendrix played an instrument that was mobile.
Uh-huh.
He was Little Richard.
Yeah.
He watched him. Like, he studied Little Richard, even to the look. Because Prince is the same thing as Little Richard. Same fucking thing.
No, Prince, well, and Jimi Hendrix in a way. Yeah. Because they both had outlandish styles, but you're right.
Even the pompadour.
Little Richard was confined to a seat.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't get up and play. Like, he could stand up and,
stand
like, pick his
up,
leg,
yeah.
But with Jimi and Prince, they were all over the place.
But Hendrix was the first, like, you know, the Pete Townsend kind of did it, you know, too, with the windmill and uh-huh. stuff, but no one was up there fucking their guitar, like, and licking it and playing with their teeth and playing behind their head. And I mean,
so would you think,
imagine the shock on like someone that took their daughter to a Jimi Hendrix concert. Right. And then he's like fucking just getting down on, I mean,
well, like you can
explain that to your fucking 14-year-old.
Wouldn't you consider Jimi Hendrix part Elvis Presley, part Little Richard and part Chuck Berry?
Nah, not Elvis at all.
Really?
Nah.
Why?
Because he never wrote like a safe sounding Elvis song, like the same way that Little Richard never wrote a safe song or Chuck Berry wrote a safe song.
Okay.
Elvis was very kind of Elvis was written for people that like would later love the Monkees. Very, you know, PG, not.
But if Elvis was in his prime in the 60s, like Jimmy was, he probably wouldn't have written something like Ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Elvis is like the safe listen, right? Uh-huh. Where Hendrix is like, not a lot of people are going to like that because people that were in their 50s when they weren't going to listen to Jimi Hendrix, dude. Like people that liked Engelbert Humperdinck and stuff.
Yeah.
Elvis could go make a croony album and they would listen to that because they'd go, oh, well, that's what all the kids are listening to that. Dude. A 50-year-old in 1967 wasn't going to get a fucking Jimi Hendrix record. they just weren't. They weren't going to do it. They'd been through a fucking like Great Depression and a fucking two world wars or something. That was a foreign world to them in the audio spectrum of things. They couldn't wrap their head around it. They were listening to fucking Herb Alpert and, you know, Montavani and shit. I'm serious.
Montavani.
They weren't like. That music was from outer space, dude. Like, yeah. They weren't going to fucking get it. But I think there's some certain people that are, you know, like Jimi Hendrix and Duane Allmans, that if they would have lived, I think that a lot of bad music wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Because the standard of which it would have been judged at would have just always excelled. You know, okay, like Aretha Franklin could only do so much, right? Someone like Jimi Hendrix could fucking get a lot of people in line a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Because that was a force, dude. Like, when you watch Hendrix perform, I mean, he just encompassed exactly what rock and roll is. Like, it was natural. He didn't have to, he wasn't faking any of that. Like, you think he wore a fucking turquoise headband because he wanted to play dress up?
No.
That's who he was. Like, it wasn't, you know, we love Ghost, but, you know, that's a contrived idea, right?
Right.
Everything Hendrix did was just a natural extension of him as a person.
Yeah. No, he was a badass. And I got to say, I'm sorry, it's not a million people at Woodstock. It's over 400,000 people.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to, I was like, I mean, over a million,
It's over 400,000, which is still a lot.
Almost half a million. You're half wrong. You were wrong and a half.
So that's basically, if you're in Texas, where the Cowboys play, that's about four times that size of people at one concert.
In a field.
Yes.
God. I mean, I remember hearing stories about people. They were like, it took us a day to get out of there.
Yeah. That's why people left early. But yeah, there was only a few people there. But yes, I guess he did do his national anthem there. And
people hated that when that got released. Oh man, people were in a uproar about it. He you know, he's degrading it, or he's, you know, not.
So basically,
there was a backlash over it.
Contemporary political pundits described his interpretation as a statement against the Vietnam War. 3 weeks later, Hendrix explained its meaning. We're all Americans. It was like, go America. We play it in the way the air is in America today. The air is slightly static. See. And that was what it was.
In that, you know, performance, there's, it sounds like there's bombs getting dropped.
No, the bombs bursting in air, and then so he plays at the and you can hear like the
He's doing that. I mean, with minimal technology with his hands.
Yep.
Okay. Like when people get on this, oh, Kanye's so great and blah blah blah. I'm like, dude, imagine if Jimi Hendrix had a fucking MacBook. He would laugh at it.
Yeah.
He would go, what is this fucking robot doing in front of my face?
Yeah. He was like, I can do this without it.
Yeah.
Let's experience something.
But I'm saying at some point he would have embraced technology, right? Like he would
have. Everybody does, but right. He would still not make a whole album off a computer with a drum.
Never, beat never. Absolutely not. But that guy, he revolutionized the way people make albums. Jimi Hendrix did.
How?
Just fucking listen to one. I mean, there's when that album came out, when Are You Experienced came out in 1967, nothing was remotely close to that at all. Like, no one was, even the closest person I think you could think as far as like in a rock guitar spectrum would go.
Yeah.
Would be maybe Peter Green from Fleetwood Mac, the early Fleetwood Mac before the girls got in the band.
Yeah.
They were, Fleetwood Mac used to be good, but people were saying Clapton was God.
Yeah.
Right. And then Jimi Hendrix happened. And then what do you call it? Well, if Clapton's God, that guy's like the, what is he? You know, he's bigger than that. He's better than Clapton.
Yes.
Because Eric Clapton couldn't do Hendrix songs. He could play over them with Hendrix.
Yeah.
But he couldn't write.
Do you think Hendrix would be today if he was still alive? Like, as far as
he'd be fucking standing on Post Malone's neck. Like, Cream was making, you know, psychedelic-y blues-based,
right,
you know, rock music. But Hendrix took it to a fucking other level, man.
Like, well, I'm curious. I'm like, if he were alive today, what route he would have gone?
He probably would have quit music. Well, him and Miles Davis were supposed to make an album together before he died.
Yeah.
They had become friends, and and even the later stuff he was working on, he was kind of getting into like a weird kind of fusion-y jazz type thing.
Yeah.
But it's hard to say, man. Like, I don't think he would have ever done like a Kiss, like made a I Was Made For Loving You, like disco song.
Yeah.
But you never know. I mean, he loved music, but again, that's another guy where the quality of his songs, like as a songwriter and like orchestrator.
Yeah.
The way he stacked and layered guitars and drums and, you know, his engineer, you know, Eddie Kramer and the Chaz Chandlers that were sitting there helping him out. That was a musical force to fucking be reckoned with, man.
What do you think about the Band of Gypsies?
I prefer the Experience myself, but I love, dude, any Hendrix, man. Like, it doesn't matter. Because that's who he had, that was the band up at, because at Woodstock, he had a second guitar player. He had another guy playing guitar.
Right.
Which, that's just, why would you do that to yourself, buddy?
Well,
like, so, if you were playing guitar with Jimi Hendrix, I would say, put me under the stage. like, why would you be up there? Well, you're in the way. Like, you're just in the way.
You could be on the side, and you could just be whatever rhythm or whatever.
No, I didn't need it. Like, that because Hendrix played rhythm and lead at the same time.
Correct, because he could, but you could also have, you know, a backing up something.
No, because anytime he ever played with another guitar player, it just didn't work because no one could hang with him. It was just impossible to do. He's that good.
So what do you think his best songs are?
Man, Axis Bold as Love is my favorite Jimi Hendrix song.
Yeah.
I really love 1983, A Merman Shall Be. I love that one. Are You Experienced? I love that song just because of the way it... I don't know. That's a great... That's got some of the best guitar playing ever on a song ever. Are You Experienced?
Did him and...
I like I Don't Live Today. That's a really good one. That's a Band of Gypsies song.
Okay. How about... Did him and the Beatles ever get together and...
They hung out and did. I'm sure they got stoned together and did stuff. But again, man, like, you know, Clapton played on the White Album with the Beatles.
Right.
Hendrix couldn't have gone and played with anyone else
because he was such a sight. He was like the.
Not because he even. Because he was far from a, you know, a dick. Like, he talked to everybody, you know. Yeah. Like, everyone. Anything I've ever read about him is. He's a very personable person. Like, if. You know, everybody has off days or whatever, and you factor in drugs, but he didn't seem like a very violent or, like, unpleasant person ever, you know? Just right. Seemed like a person. But he... Man, I don't know. I just get kind of bewildered sometimes when I think about him, of just how incredible that he was.
Why do you think nobody has ever come close to being as good as him?
Because they're trying. He didn't try. He just did it. Like, he didn't... When people try to, like, force the, okay, I'm going to sit and I'm going to learn and play the Wind Cries Mary or whatever it is, you can find all the right notes. You can know musical theory, like the back of your hand. You could be some sort of classically trained cellist, best musician in the world. And he's a prime example of someone who, if you don't feel it, you're not going to hear it. Because there was emotion in his hands. Like, the chords he made, everything he played, it had a feeling behind it. It wasn't just kind of getting through a... Like Tom Petty, right? This song's in B, right? Like, I don't think Hendrix... You couldn't do that to a Hendrix song. This one's in E. All songs are in certain keys, but his songs were so, like, hugely, like, organic and fucking... There's a lot going on. Like, he... I don't know, man. Something else to think about. You can't even almost comprehend it. It's so forward to me.
If you watch any of this stuff, you know, because he played Woodstock and what's the other really big one?
Monterey Pop Festival. Isle of Wight.
Yeah. So he was just invited to all these places and he just...
Well, that's the only places that could... I mean... That's why the Beatles stopped touring, because they couldn't find places that could hold 60,000 people, 70,000 people. Those venues didn't exist. If the Beatles played a concert, there'd be a riot. When Hendrix played, it was like, okay, cool, well, he's probably going to bring 100,000 people, so we're going to need to have this concert in a field somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's why they did those festivals, because that was, again, that was a culture shock thing. Like, a festival hadn't happened until... Like on a stage of what the level of Woodstock hadn't happened until Woodstock. There were things going on at like the Fillmore and, you know, people that had outdoor festivals and stuff, but To have that many people and that level of talent on that bill.
Well, nobody knew that was going to be that.
They didn't know
that. That's why the Beatles didn't go, because they just thought it was going to be some.
The Beatles would have got
small time country.
Well, the Beatles would have got blown off the stage at fucking Woodstock, dude. Are you kidding me?
Dude, if they went up like.
No.
Because right before Jimi Hendrix, I think, was Bananarama that went up.
Bananarama?
Uh huh. Wasn't that, am I wrong with that?
Bananarama was like an 80s band.
What am I thinking of?
I have no fucking clue, dude. Something's wrong with you. So a lot of people had iconic performances at the fucking Woodstock,
no,
man.
No, correct.
The
correct.
Who? The Beatles would have been the odd man out, dude. They wouldn't have fit in it there. They would not have fit in.
So, okay, I'm looking because I wanted to say that Hendrix went on last. Oh, no. Why did I say Bananarama? Sha-na-na.
Yeah.
Sha-na-na went on right before Hendrix. For 30 minutes, which is hilarious.
That would have been about the same as, like, sending the Beatles up there, man. They weren't... The Beatles weren't happening right then for that to be able to play live to do that. They couldn't have done it. Hmm. I'm telling you, they would have gotten embarrassed. They would have been, like, because the Dead played there and that fell apart.
Well... Because even in the documentary, you see them all doing acid and...
Yeah, but fucking Santana did the same acid and he crushed it.
True.
And he did more.
Yeah.
Like, you think the Beatles would have played better than Sly and the Family Stone at Woodstock? Absolutely not. The Beatles would have got embarrassed, dude. Like, they should be thankful they stayed home.
And it's really funny that... I always love that we have to do one on Sly and the Family Stone, but it's great that, you know, 3:30 a.m. to 4:20 a.m. Sly and the Family Stone plays because everybody's trying to fall asleep, and you get Sly and the family up there, and they're just like...
Yeah, ain't nobody... Everybody's fucking now,
yeah,
dude.
Seriously. But yes, he's right about Grateful Dead at Woodstock. They only played, like, five songs.
Yeah, and then they edited them out of the footage, but also, like, Mountain played there.
Yeah,
that's
right,
another band.
Grateful Dead, yes.
That was... Mountain was really another band too that was kind of doing stuff similar to the experience, you
right
know, Hendrix,
but yeah, it was just I don't know why I said Bananarama, but yeah, Sha-na-na opened up for Jimi Hendrix.
Well, they didn't, they just played before him at the hop.
But yeah, he ended with the Star Spangled Banner, Purple Haze, but then his encore was Hey Joe.
You know the question when I asked you earlier, like, hey, if you could go back in time and, like, you know, what era would you live in or go visit something? My list, if I went back, dude, I would make a stop at Woodstock.
That's why I said the 60s, so I can... the question I've asked people I've interviewed before is, what would you want to witness in person that you weren't alive for yet? And I would always say Woodstock because I would love to be there. But then I would love to see... Jimi Hendrix play in Little Richard's band back in the day.
Nah, I wouldn't want
to. That would be so cool to see.
Wasn't Hendrix then, though? Like, he didn't even go by Jimi Hendrix then.
That's true.
Like, he wasn't... That would have been like going and looking at an elephant in a cage.
Right.
Like, you have to see the elephant move to appreciate the greatness of it.
Correct.
He was wearing a suit and tucked away in the back.
Yes.
Like, and he wasn't made... Like, yeah, he played with Little Richard. That's cool, but... Little Richard's piano player don't need any guitar.
Yeah.
Like, that's too much ego and greatness to have in just one band. It would have... Didn't work, obviously. I mean, there was something obviously not gelling. But Chaz Chandler saw it, dude. I'm telling you, Chaz Chandler, thank you.
There you go.
Equally as influential as Jimi Hendrix.
All right.
Tell me, look it up, dude. The Animals.
Well, yeah, the Animals.
The Animals are one of the most underrated bands ever. I bet Jonathan Kimbrell loves the Animals.
He does, and we got to get him on the show because, you know, Eric Burdon and the Animals.
Eric Burdon.
Burdon.
Also in War.
Yes. And the Animals are just a great band. They were around, and they did some pretty great stuff. But
yeah, dude, they were like the fucking rock and roll Otis Redding.
Yeah, which we have to also do a show on that, too. But Jimi Hendrix... He'll be around forever because that dude's just never going away.
Well, he did go away.
But he's still here, basically.
Man, I hope at some point... You know what sucks, though, is there's a lot of, like, current rappers now that have started to use Hendrix in their name, but they don't have any of the vowels.
It's just so weird.
There's a lot of them, though. Like, and I'm like, man, the family needs to get on that and say, y'all motherfuckers need to stop using this fucking namesake.
Yeah.
No, bunch of no talent ass clowns. Right?
Dude,
you know what?
Just doing it to get money. Does like
I bet at one point there's going to be a Post Malone is somehow going to like have a song with Hendrix.
Don't. Why? Why put these thoughts in my head?
Bad shit happens, dude. We can't live in the land of Elfo and and disenchantment, right? I've only ever eaten candy.
To war!
Right? And then he tells those people their food's good and they're fucking, no, pray, you're praising us. Leave. We are but humble servants.
By the way, see Disenchantment on Netflix. It's a new animated series awesome. From the creators of The Simpsons and Futurama, Matt Groening.
Yeah, our good friend, Matt.
Matt. But yes, this is our podcast. Our episode is done. Jimi Hendrix, Right Said Fred. We are the Unbalanced Note.
Dolly Parton and Devendra Banhart.
Yes.
Gosh. We covered it all, didn't we?
We did. We're on iTunes and Stitcher Radio under the Multimedia Men. Jacob Douglas, where can they find you, sir? They can find you at Scrumchalescence.
Only on Instagram.
And then
it's the extent of my social media branching out.
There you go. And you can find me at boomstickcomics.com and highdefdigest.com.
Boom, I'm too sexy for my boomstick.
Too sexy for my boomstick, it... heads.
It's always online.
Yes. And also on iTunes and Stitcher Radio under the Multimedia Men, where you'll find this show, The Unbalanced Note, my bloody podcast about horror films, Wrestling is Everything, about pro wrestling, mediocrity, amongst others. But we'll see you next week. Hopefully we'll have a guest. We'll try to get that arranged. And we love you all.